We all got skills. We have talents and we have passions. But mine happens to be sex. This is the Fun Sexual Podcast with your oversharing swinky best friend, Majesty. And I'm talking sex and all of the ways and all of the things that make sex, well, fun. Hello, friends and friends of friends and even the people who don't like me. Welcome. Nope, no one doesn't like me. Let me start that over, okay? Welcome, friends and friends of friends and future friends. I am Majesty. That's M-A-J-E-S-T-Y-Y-Y. I like all three of my Ys, also known as the sexy sweetheart, the wholesome hoe, the chocolate Velma, the play party princess, and the cultivator of good vibes. And let me tell you why this episode. Let me tell you why this episode is very special for me. Okay. My outfit choice for this episode was because of you.
Really?
Oh, because I have never in my life had somebody tell me that I was not tall. So, for this episode specifically, I made sure that I wore the highest.
I noticed that right away. I don't know if you know, but like literally when I saw you come at me walking earlier today, I was like, my brain like automatically, mm-hmm. because of how much height mm-hmm. is important to me.
Yes, I made sure I wore the highest shoes that I had. I was like, you are not going to call me short again. So
you got to know though, like almost with the exception of maybe a couple people, almost everyone I've dated was like 5'9" plus. Like I date tall women.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
5'10".
But sometimes actually, I mean, honestly, I wish I was shorter sometimes now because like I've dated multiple women 6 feet plus. So, and I know that's definitely rare for that to happen with like you being shorter, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like because of my love for tall women. Like
it's your thing.
They kind of like are like, wow, this wolf, he worships me, so shoot.
And you might be wondering who this hooded person is on the couch next to me. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I am Hood Man, known in the fetish kink world as that. Do fetish videos, both behind the camera and in the camera, so both. Mm-hmm. I organize parties, got one coming up soon, and I also am an author, and a couple times people have had me be a personal trainer.
Really?
It doesn't happen often because people don't want to listen to me, even though I'm like, I know how to work out. And then people are like, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to do it. I was like,
why'd you pay for a session then?
Exactly. But then they get upset because like, it's too much. And I'm like,
are you like super aggressive and assertive as a personal trainer?
No. I'm assertive in my work. My regular work, but like personal trainer, no, because I think this is actually funny. I think this is the issue is that it's usually like really cool women, and half the time they're dominant women.
So it's not going to be me
like assert. I mean, I have a couple of times for organizing. I had to do this video shoot a while back, and like people were like, "Oh, are you going to do the video and stuff?" I was like, "No, I want us to get this shoot done." Because y'all couldn't get it organized, so I organized the spreadsheet.
Do you enjoy doing it when you have to?
I do, actually. And I think that's the thing. I like doing it, and I've gotten better at it. And I do enjoy doing it, but at the same time, on those one-on-one personal trainer things, like if a dominant woman is telling me no, like I'm probably not going to do much to make her like, hey, yeah, like go do this. That's not really gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen at all.
It's not gonna happen.
Part of my intro. So first of all, pronouns, and then how do you identify in all of the ways, any of the ways that you identify?
Okay, cool. He, him, especially, you know, with the hood and everything. I'm queer. I would say I lean hetero, but I would say the queerness comes from I date a transgender woman, male to female. And I'm drawn to femininity, so femme is attractive to me. Masculinity is not, and including to the fact where it's like, you know, if, like, this doesn't even matter, like, you know, gender types. It's like if, you know, you have someone who's a stud, you know, rocking very masculine clothing, or you have someone who's female to male, like, there's no longer an attraction there mm-hmm. because you're presenting masculine. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter, like, it's masculinity and femininity. That's the attraction.
Do you consider dominance a masculine or feminine trait? Because I know a lot, I have conversations a lot of times with just about dominance and submission and what that looks like. And people, there's this like conversation right now going on about the submissive woman and what that looks like. And I'm so fucking tired of this conversation. But like people always do this, like associating submission with femininity.
Which is interesting because, so also like if we're talking kink spectrum, I'm a bottom. And I say that instead of submissive because I think I'm a horrible submissive. And I think it's because I'm too much of a brat. but I think the thing is, it's weird because at times, like, there is some masculine femininity, I feel, but it's more of, like, not necessarily, like, masculine energy coming out. It's just, like, a woman has, like, both energies, I want to say, femininity and masculinity. Mm-hmm. And, like,
yin and yang.
Yeah. And then for me, when I'm a bottom to them, it's kind of like a knight more than
a slave type servant.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's more of like a knight, but not like a knight to the princess. It's more a knight to a badass Maleficent type queen. Like that your Maleficent's black knight type thing. You know, that's kind of,
that's definitely a badge of honor to wear.
Right. For like, sure. So that's how I view it.
And so the your attraction to like height plays into that as well.
Oh, always. Because so in my fair share of filming, and mainly what I film nowadays, I mean, I used to film solely just BDSM, and I was, like, in the camera. I film a lot of wrestling stuff, which was my original, like, you know, muscle woman and everything.
Pause. If you are watching this or listening to this right now, I would really love for you, before we even continue on with this episode, to go to Twitter. And what is your Twitter? Is it just Hoodman?
It is Hoodman. Let me double check.
I believe we're going to give you the Twitter name, because I would like you to go to Hoodman's Twitter, and so that you can just kind of have an idea of what the fuck we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because people will look at your Twitter and see
a lot of... The pinned tweet is literally me getting my ass kicked.
I was going to say, people would look at your Twitter and see a lot of what might be considered like you getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, so it's Hoodman the. And like even the profile picture, I'm getting my ass beat. So that's really my thing. And like with that though is like, there's a lot of small women who have totally kicked my butt, like 5 feet, whatever. And it's hot and it's amazing and impressive. But mentally, it's not the same as the tall woman doing it. The tall woman is less skilled. And I mean, like, not as skilled. Like, does it mentally is great. Like, for example, I shot with this amazing 6'4" lady where I actually, like, if you look at the image, I look small. Like legitimately
was
small.
Was she also, like, big muscle woman? Or
she was more
tall?
BBW, I would say, probably. That's what she identified as.
Okay.
Again, like, I was definitely a small person. So, in that regard, like, I look at the image even, and people are like, yo, it's huge. It's actually, like, my third most popular clip on my site. So, but she wasn't as experienced in BDSM stuff, but it was still an extreme turn on because I'm like, this is a 6'4" woman. Like, I don't care your skill level. My mind thinks you're amazing versus the 5'2", like,
super badass
MMA fighter or whatever. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. She totally kicked my butt. Like, kicked me in the head, sure. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm masturbating to the 6'4" lady who doesn't know as much. That's height is my fetish.
That's fair.
You know.
That's very fair. You like what you like.
Yep.
And we like what we like. I've been following Hoodman. I've been following you on Twitter for a while, and I feel it was interesting that it kind of took so long for our paths to cross. But I'm glad that they did when they did, because first of all, you're here, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
And so when we met in person, you were on scene for my first ever scene that I shot. And so that was when I got the opportunity to meet you. And that weekend, all of us ended up going to like a couple different events and stuff for the weekend. Thanks. I haven't even watched the footage. Like, I'm kind of nervous to like watch the footage. I haven't even like gone through it yet.
So to tell you, like, I don't know, like, for footage. So footage is usually two things. I mean, half the time I'm blindfolded. So, but the thing is, I think footage, like, there's two things. One, you kind of like get amazed at cool things that happen, but then you also end up getting turned on by yourself. And it's not even a narcissistic thing. You're like, wow, that was really hot that happened, and I was a part of that. Like,
I like to watch myself, cool. So I think I'm going to enjoy watching it. But because it was my first scene, like, there was a part of me that was, like, very in my head, like, what does this look like? You know, how is this going to translate
it all looked
to
hot.
The camera? So I'm gonna try to watch it this before the end of this week. I don't know.
It was arousing, that much I could say.
Yes! That's what we do it for. But no, so that weekend we ended up like hanging out for that weekend. And I don't think you noticed it. And I tried obviously not to make it very obvious, but I was trying to like, I have a thing for people doing what I tell them to do. I fucking love people doing what I tell them to do. So I tried to like purposely ask you to do even just small, even it's like, can you put together Spanky Bitch? Can you take apart the Spanky Bitch? Can you carry it downstairs? Like I tried to like purposely give you.
Oh, I noticed.
Task. Okay. I was like, I don't know. Like,
I was, but at the same time, like, believe me, I was like.
I was trying to purposely do that. I was like, I don't know if he's picking up on it, but I'm going to just do it anyway.
Oh, I'm totally down. I was like, yeah, this is a cool, gorgeous lady. So I'm definitely down to do it.
Yes.
Like, it was like, yeah. I like
all of
doing
the heavy
that.
Things. Carry all of the heavy things. So I don't know how much you know about the fun sexual, but I want to ask you a question that I ask all of my guests. If you had to define the term fun sexual, what would you say that it meant?
For me, I would say fun sexual would be that sex is enjoyable and fun more than anything else. First and foremost, like, I think there's a lot of pressures around sex in two ways, right? In both positive and negative ways. Like, negative in that, like, all the associations and problems and complaints that people have around it. And then in a positive way in that, like, people expect everything to be like porn in a sense, and like always like porn all the time, and they think like, you know, and you get people with inflated egos on what mm-hmm. they can do. And then, but I think with putting the fun in front of it is like, sex is fun, let's explore it, let's not put a ton of weight on this, let's not put all the pressures on everything, let's have fun, like whatever that fun is mm-hmm. with sex, we'll see.
If you
but
get kicked in the head by a 6'4" woman and that's fun for you, fuck it.
I mean, I got kicked in the head Sunday with a video by a martial artist lady and like was spinning hook kick, literally. And I literally fly on the camera. And I was like, she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, that was dope as hell.
Do it again.
Like, that's so cool. like, I don't think this ever happened.
Oh, she kicked the shit out of you.
Like, she was, well, she's a martial artist straight up. Like, so, and she's actually like, I think she's an inch taller than me. She's a powerful lady. So like, she did a like full step in, like turn around hook kick. I knew what it was for martial arts, and I got like,
it's with your heel, right?
Right, back. Like, and okay. You spin and go back yep. with it, and it hit me square in the head perfectly, and I was like, oh yeah, like, yo, I was like, wow, and I was like,
that clip
like,
is gonna do great.
Yeah, I was like, that's awesome.
I love it. That clip is gonna do, that video is gonna do amazing. So we are going to step into our icebreaker. So we are going to play a little game of two truths and a lie, and I am going to allow you to go first.
Cool.
I'm going to guess which one is your lie.
Gotcha.
I'm looking at you straight and square into your face.
I have never used Twitch. I have never used TikTok. And I have never used Snapchat.
Twitch, TikTok, Snapchat. I'm going to say you have used Twitch because you definitely give gamer vibes. And I feel like that's the gamer platform. Everybody did Snapchat. I'm going to say TikTok. You have never used TikTok.
Correct.
Yes.
As much as people try and convince me, and I have thought about it a lot of times, I just wouldn't know what to do with it.
It's honestly, even the last guest that I was talking to, TikTok has so many, like, especially if you're going to use it for, like, kink purposes, they have so many, like, guidelines. Like, I'm not going to say it's not worth it, because if you use it and utilize it well and you know how not to get deleted off, then it could be super beneficial. But it's very hard to, like, dabble that line of, like, what is acceptable and not. But if I feel like if you're getting kicked, beat up.
Right. I don't know if I would. I actually don't know if I'd even use it for a kink. I might use it for like my writing stuff, okay. Actually. So, but yeah. So that's one. Snapchat's funny because it's so close to being true, but I used Snapchat for like a day. Like when it first came out early on and I was like trying to figure it out. And then I was like, I don't understand this. And then I left. And then that's why, like, sometimes from sex workers and everything, a few of them are like, yeah, add me on Snap, or like, have a Snap. And I'm like,
don't have one.
Not gonna happen. Like, I'm sure you got great stuff on Snap, but
don't have
nope.
One. Okay. So we are going, I'm gonna give you my two truths and a lie, and you're gonna guess which one. I have a Dreamcatcher collection. I can do a split, and I own one pair of sneakers.
I'm trying to think. I actually think you do have a Dreamcatcher collection. I don't know why that vibe stuck to me in a sense. But it could have been we watched Prey, which is pretty Native American in a sense. I don't know.
You suggested that movie. It was really good. I suggested it to several people, by the way.
I'm glad. Like, I've been on it. I mean, my last podcast was about indigenous representation on media, so. I feel like you have more than one pair of sneakers. I mean, I feel like it's a possibility, but I'm also like, you know. And then the second one was.
I can do a split.
I feel like actually. Might be you can't do a split.
I cannot do a split.
All right.
I've tried many of times. I haven't worked at it actively, but I have in my life actively tried to get the split and be flexible. I think being flexible is a super cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not. I'm not a very flexible person.
For some reason, I was like, even though you're moving around, I was like, in the scene, she wasn't the flexible.
He was the flexible one. Not I.
I was like, hold on.
Okay. You got me. You got me, Hood Man.
You got me,
so,
Majesty.
Who is Hood Man? First of all, is Hood Man a superhero or a supervillain?
The guy's considered Hood Man a superhero.
Superhero.
Like able to take pain from like anyone type thing.
So what are some like limits? Like where do you like draw the line when it comes to like your masochism or being dominated or bottoming?
I would say it's a lot of the bodily fluids is the thing, really. I think the pandemic made even spitting not cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like really anything. I'm not into any of the showers. I like sweat, but beyond that, I'm like, I don't.
What would somebody do with sweat? Paint that scene for me.
Armpit. Sniff their armpit. Oh. Lick their armpit. Yeah.
After they kicked your ass and sniffed their armpit?
Definitely. It'd be hot as hell. That is hot. For me, it's like even hot with like someone I'm dating is like at the gym or just sweaty. I'm like, sniff their armpit. It's hot. Like, because I have a bad sense of smell unless I'm right next to something. So okay. For me, the scent is really good when I'm right next to them. So like smelling it, it's hot.
I feel like that's a good time to talk about your muscle woman fetish.
Right.
What is that about? How did that come about? When did you realize? Like, I want all of the details about this, your muscle woman fetish.
Gotcha. So originally American Gladiators, definitely American Gladiators, and from the 90s. And I used to watch that show sometimes with my mom. And it was so funny because I don't think she realized why I enjoyed watching the show. Like, she actually genuinely liked the competition, which is really funny because my mom isn't into watching sports at all, but mm-hmm. She liked the competition.
The athleticism.
Who knows? Maybe my mom was a fan of muscular people too. I don't know. My dad is not, but you know, whatever. So that happened. I was into Muscle Woman when I was really young, and I was like, oh, it's amazing. Primarily Blaze from the early 90s. Amazing black woman who, when she did Powerball, she would like beat the crap out of the competitors. And for me, it was like the hottest thing ever. Like, and then there was another lady who was like 6'2". Was muscular, but so it, all that's to say is like it was live media, muscular woman everywhere, and I was like, oh my god. And then the, you know, the show kind of died off. 90s, I grew up and stuff, and then I was like, you know, when I discovered the internet, I was like, what happened to these women? Like, and I never forget, like, this one lady on her blog ages ago was like, the men love muscles because for them the biceps are like boobs. And I was like, I think she's got a point though. Like, I like, for example, like arms, like, you know, arms and legs that are really strong, like with the quads and the muscles, that's really hot. And some people be like, really? I'm like, yeah. And then also the other thing is like a strong back. It's like really sexy to me. So like,
I get where you're coming from, because I have this, every woman has this draw to Meg Thee Stallion, but like, I love Meg Thee Stallion. I have this desire for her to just like kind of like crush my head with her thighs. For some reason, she's just like,
I mean,
very...
recently, so does The Rock. So, you know. Like, and I literally just celebrated. I was like, The Rock is speaking life goals. I've always been a fan. I was a fan of Megan day one. Like, as soon as I saw her, I was like, this might be the person that takes the competition away from Serena Williams.
That's the one? Meg is amazing. Her physique is amazing. Her legs are amazing. Her ass, she's amazing. I absolutely adore her. And
I would be her bottom in a heartbeat.
Meg, if you ever see this, you have a very hopeful person ready to be at your service. So I probably should have went into this first, but why the hood?
The hood, you know, protecting identity, mm-hmm. in a sense, you know, of course. But I think the funniest thing on the hood, man, is originally it was protecting identity, and it was definitely actually... To be honest, it has worked out to protect identity with even crazy things I've gotten into. But also at this point, sometimes it's kind of become an identity mm-hmm. in a sense. It's like expected personality. Like I've definitely at least once done the hood and the suit. Done that once, just like at a kink party. Whereas like a suit, you know, I was wearing a black suit and then I had the hood. And I was like, why not?
Hood man.
You know, there you go. And then now it's just kind of like a cool thing. Like sometimes I'll just like throw on the hood and like be hanging out with people and being like, yeah, no problem. And then sometimes it's like, yeah, I'm just gonna rock this. It's kind of just my thing to rock. So it was definitely originally for identity purposes, and now it's kind of become an identity, to say the least.
So why the hood as opposed to like a different sort of mask?
Okay. I think it goes more into the like kink side of things with like slave hoods or submissive hoods, I want to say, versus like if you have like a masquerade mask, it's, I feel you're going for a different effect there. It's kind of like maybe a masquerade ball type fancy party thing. Mm-hmm. Or if you're just doing like the eye mask, then that would be like the superhero thing. If that were super villain thing, if I was going for, which, and one time I did a wrestling mask and that was hilarious. We did a luchador thing. That was so funny.
Nacho Libre.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was hot, but also one of the funniest videos I've ever done. But I think for this, it's like originally some of the hoods I would wear even before, you know, putting on the hood in sessions for BDSM were similar to this, or like leather hoods. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, this is kind of like the submissive slave hood type thing. Even there's a femdom ball I'm going to in October, and all the slaves have to wear hoods. So it's kind of
like... You were like, perfect.
Perfect, you know? So I'm excited to go to that. That's really cool.
That sounds cool. Do you go through sort of like an internal like transformation when you put on your hood?
I would say actually no, because I tend to still be myself or like figure things out. The transition I feel happens when we go into a scene, like when we're about to go, like if I put on the hood and we go into a video, or I put on the hood and I go into some play, I feel like that's when the transition happens. But possibly you could say it because I put the hood on so frequently for scenes versus like just hanging out. But at the same time, I've had the hood on and just hung out and been normal too. So
It's just ingrained in you.
Yeah. So, but I've definitely had the transformation for the hood. We shoot, and then like after the shoot, I take the hood off like right away type thing.
Is your hood for you in the way like a collar is for a submissive? Like, is that something that somebody can gift you and it means something?
Oh, if someone give me a hood, that'd be really cool. I don't think I'd view it as a collar necessarily, because I view collar, for me, like collars are so sacred for that dom sub relationship mm-hmm. or Tom slave type relationship. Like even at something where I was going to, where they're like, people have to wear collars if you do this outfit, and I was like, aha, so that means I don't have to wear it if I do this thing, because for me I'm
so
like,
you intentionally didn't do yeah. wear the collar.
And so it's like, I think, you know, doms have collars for a reason. For me, I believe like that's your sacred vow. It's like it's not exactly the same, but it is a form of like marriage in a mm-hmm. sense in the BDSM world mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm like, I'm not just gonna wear a collar to wear a collar.
Have you ever been collared?
No.
Is that something that you would want to do?
I thought it was once.
You now, thought you were collared, or you thought you wanted to be?
I thought I wanted to be collared once.
Okay.
Now it's like, no, never, no.
What about it draws you away from it?
Because
I like, first of all, you're very heavy in the community. People, you're very well known. You're very heavy in the community. You actually know what the fuck you're doing, where a lot of people kind of don't.
Well,
and so I do also view it as like that very sacred bond between somebody. It's very something not to be taken lightly, something to be respected. So like what is the draw away from that for you?
I think the hard part for me is, as someone who's not really in a belief of like marriage in general, or like that type of bond, for me I feel it's like too restrictive. I mean, I guess maybe that's my Sagittarius talking.
Same.
You know. I don't meet enough Sagittarius, honestly.
We're amazing, and people try to paint us out like we're terrible people. We are actually extremely logical, and I think that that's why
we're logical, and we usually say exactly what you're gonna get with us, or like how we are. And a lot of people want to change us. I don't know if that happens to you.
I used to a lot more. It doesn't happen now. Not as much now,
but that's definitely something where like people are like, oh well, okay, I'll change. And I'm like, but I said who I was. Like, what are you doing?
I put it all on the table.
So, and I think that one of the things with the collaring is like, and this has happened from when I was serving someone before, and it's like, it makes it hard for me to like interact with other people, film with other people. Mm. Like it just makes that difficult. And I'm like, I do not want that.
Do you, are you poly?
Yes.
Okay. Mass. So when a conversation that we were having a couple weeks, two weekends ago that I really enjoyed and really wanted to get a little bit more into was like your relationship to and with sex. I am a very, I'm a very sexual person, openly very sexual person.
The fun sexual.
And even my relationship to sex is, it changes based on situations that I'm in, the people that I meet, the types of sex that I'm having. But I really enjoyed hearing your relationship to and with sex. If you could like kind of go into that and like.
Right. I think sex is a bit different for me than probably a lot of people is that it's not necessarily my bonding agent with, you know, relationships as a whole. For me, it's like the time you spend with people and like the bonds you have. And also I have a tendency, like my main goal is usually to make sure whoever I'm with gets their pleasure. I'm not so much pleasured with it because my body can be really finicky sometimes and what it wants to do. But the thing is, what's so different is like, I know this, right? Like I'm not coming home. It's like, well, maybe this didn't work. It's like, well, these things will work. You like.
And yeah. That too, you were very, the way that you knew yourself when we were having this conversation, the way that you knew yourself and like knew your body and knew it where I was like, that is what I aspire to have. Cause sometimes like, sometimes this works and sometimes this doesn't. And I don't know what's the thing that's going to make it work. But you were like, you know what you like.
Right. I was like, just sit on my face and grab my nipples. Like if that is how you want me to be aroused for us to have sex. Okay. And if we don't do what I need, like it probably won't work and I'm okay with that. So don't get upset. But people get upset sometimes and I'm like, why?
Because we and I can be the same way, even like in the filming the scene, like there is like this pressure around ejaculation, especially for a man. Like if a man doesn't come, the sex isn't over. If a man doesn't come, the porn isn't over. And so there's a lot of pressure like around that. And so it becomes very just male, like male centered. So for me, it's different now, but I know in my earlier years as a sexual person, if that person, if the man that I was having sex with wasn't pleased or satisfied, or I didn't feel like he was pleased or satisfied, or if he didn't come, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Like it didn't really matter about what happened for me. If it didn't happen for him, then it was something didn't happen right. Something was wrong. I didn't satisfy or please him. So I understand why people can feel that way. I definitely wish that the shift would happen and go away from that.
Right. I agree.
I even still find myself in that sometimes.
I mean, what's interesting is, you know, you're not the only one. Is I found a variety of women, regardless of how badass they are and whatever, like, for that to happen sometimes. Even when I don't expect it, and it becomes an ego thing, and, like, I love to compliment when, like, someone has done something that, like, they maybe didn't do before or something, and it's like, oh, yeah, like, you're the only one to, like, get me off in this way, and they're like, yeah, and it's like, it's cool, but I'm also like, well, if it doesn't, because, you know, I mean, I healthily masturbate myself a lot, and I'm like, I'm okay. And then also, I want the other person to get off. That's big to me. I mean, what's happened a couple times with people is it's even been like, they got off, the lady got off, and then they're like, oh, are you good and stuff? Sure. I'm like, yeah, I'm actually good. Like, someone just had this recent conversation once, like, on Facebook, they were saying, and they're like, I'm tired of these guys saying, like, oh, like, I've never gotten off from head, and they want you to go and work for it. And I was like, no, legitimately, I'm not a big fan of getting head, and don't put in a ton of effort unless you really want to, like, giving head is your thing. Otherwise, like, I don't need
that
you
is
to.
So that is extremely rare. Like, what is it about head that's not the, like?
Usually, like, the feeling, I actually think, and this goes back to, like, the masochist inside of me, I think head is, like, the least rough, like, feeling I can get down there. Like, a vagina is rougher. Because it's tighter.
Okay.
Like, usually people's mouths, like, or some people go overboard with the wetness.
There's not enough friction.
Yeah, and people's hands, especially as someone who likes muscle woman, like, muscle hands and strength are going to be, like, you know, better than the mouth in that regard. I mean.
So, by that logic, do you prefer having anal sex over that? Like.
Like, me getting anal sex or.
Or, you know, you having sex, you giving anal. Over, like, a mouth or hands, because the ass is going to be tighter than the hands or the mouth.
I'm mixed on anal sex. It's funny. It's like, I mean, it's probably because I'm mixed general on like giving sex in general. I'm like, and the thing is, it's funny if someone's like, oh, well then, like, are you fully like gay? And I'm like, no, because I definitely get off of vaginas. And I mean, I love eating out. So, you know, like, I will do that all day. I'm like, yo, if that's all we need to do, great. If you don't need me to like actually penetrate, I'm great. I'll just eat you out. No, I will do that all day long.
I thought it was really funny. You're like, you were like, you know, I don't really need like to penetrate vaginally, like just sit on my face and play on my nipples. And I'm like, what is it about the face sitting thing for you?
It's a pure form of dominance, in my opinion. It's like, I think this is one of the things I was saying where like, if you took a certain picture, like you don't see the guy's face. And so, and in one end, like it's funny on dom sense, but another, it's a cool, like anti, like
patriarchy
thing, right? Like where it's like, you are an object right now. Like we have so many times where women are the object, right? And it's like, no, you, the man, are an object right now. And this woman is gorgeous and amazing. You get to see her. You get to see her ass. You get to see like how great she is. Maybe it's the front way where like you don't even see the face. And you just see this dick and this body out here while this great woman is enjoying herself. And I think that's what it is. And it's like a pure, total like, yes, you are at the bottom. And for me, I'm like, that is a position that works like, if you're short, if you're not muscular, if you're not like bad at, that works, period.
Just like, looking up at somebody.
That works, period. So like that position is like really cool, but it's like, so the vaginal anal, it's interesting. It's like, I've had anal sex. It was really good. I have vaginal sex. It's really good. But I'm also like, if it doesn't happen, I'm like, okay. Like it's like, all right. And then also like, if no one like penetrates anyone, I'm like, okay. Even though I like getting pegged all the time too, so a whole nother thing. So
fire.
I mean, those are my most popular clips.
I was going through your clips with this might be TMI. I was going through your clips as I was getting ready for this episode, and my mom is just hearing She's like, "What are you watching?" I was like, "Come on over, like come look." And she's like, "What is happening here?" She was like, "Is this man just getting his ass beat?" And then there was a video of you getting pegged by a really muscular one. My mom was like, "Yo, what is happening in this video right
that
now?"
That is my it's probably, if I think of it, it's probably the Miss K one, the one wearing the red.
She I think she had on a black, like, in chain harness situation.
Oh, that's Candy. That's the second most popular one.
What do you think makes your most popular video so popular?
So I learned that strap on and pegging is popular, period.
Okay.
I'm noticing that not even just my clip store, that's like across the board. People like pegging. And then if you combine that with like muscle, like I use this hashtag that I know like a lot of people don't use, and maybe I'm the first to use it, probably not, but I was like, muscle pegging. And then people are like, oh, why is it not like just muscle fucking or something? I was like,
no.
Well, no, because for me, that's like, you might veer into like gay men doing like gay men type muscular. Like, no, it's pegging, and specifically woman with a strap on
who's strong as fuck.
Who are strong pegging me. And so I have a great time with that. Like, those clips are popular. Like, that's the thing I try and do. When I go to clips, is usually I do one where I get my ass beat, and then the second one depends on how down she is with like me being naked or her being naked. Mm-hmm. Is so ass beat like with boxing. The other one is usually either a strap on or it's going to be like a wrestling situation. So those are usually the three. The most popular by far is muscle pegging.
But even in watching your videos, like there was a couple of them and I was like, he's not putting up a fight at all. He's not even trying in this one. So I was like, do you find sometimes that your videos are performative in that way?
Oh yeah. Like I can do stuff. I could do martial arts if I took martial arts back in the day, but it's like, one, it's not what the clients want. First of all, like, you know, people want.
We're selling clips here.
Right? Customs. Two, it's also not what I like watching. Like, I never like the ones where, like, women's lose or, like, it's so competitive. Like, the guy's actually doing really well. I'm like, that's not hot. I don't want men winning. So,
I love that. So if you had to or needed to or requested to, like, degrade a woman, is that something that you would even be able to do or like feel comfortable doing or want to do at all?
No, I wouldn't feel comfortable at all doing it. Like someone even asked me one time to film something like that. And granted, it was specifically like in my head, it was probably a race play, but it was specifically an interracial thing. They were going to try and pay me a lot. And I was like, yeah, I don't shoot that. Like that's not, we are not having a white man like dominate. You're not getting me to shoot it. It's like, yo, he's going to pay you. So I was like, I don't care.
Can't do it.
Like, no way. No way. And then also, like, me personally to a woman, like, no, what I can do is, like I love rope a lot, and I wish I knew more. So that I would absolutely do to a woman because I really love, like, the aspects of it. Mm-hmm. I would definitely tie up women. I think that's really cool.
Topping was more than
yeah, and then, like, I like to show people, like, how to spank and how to hit things, like, so they can do it to me.
Okay. How do you like to be spanked? Let me say this. When we were at the event in DC, I really enjoyed, let me rewind. I identify as a masochist. Definitely not nearly on your level, but I identify as a masochist. My enjoyment that I get isn't like a sexual arousal when I am being, especially like during impact. Like, it's not a sexual arousal. It just feels good. In a, like a non-sexual way, but you were having a scene and like your dick was getting hard. And I was like, oh, yeah. You like, this is like a different, it never occurred to me that there was like a different type of like masochism. Like you are like sexually turned on by the, is it the pain? Is it the dominance? Like what is it?
I mean, so I would say it leans to pain, but it's also dominance, especially if people know how to do it. Like, there's definitely, I always call this sadist sensual, where like people give pain and then soothe, mm-hmm. pain then soothe. That's always a good one for me. But the big thing is because my nipples are my buttons, and like she had like, and I realized I was like, so I'm not the biggest fan of clothespins, but I was like, oh, okay, we can do that though with clothespins. We can,
because you said clothespins were like a no.
I know, but she like did where like she just had them on my nipples only.
Okay,
that was it, and I was like, oh, this works. Like, do not put them on, like, you know, do this stuff where people try and put them on arms mm-hmm. or thighs. Like, don't do that. But on the nipples, I was like, okay, this works. That turned me the hell on. And it got me so aroused that, I mean, now you can do all the other stuff. But then again, a lot of stuff does arouse me. Like, actually, ball busting does arouse me. The boxing does arouse me. The wrestling and the holds do arouse me. Like, spanking can, like, if that one's hard. That's one of the ones where it's hard to explain like what works best. Like, I feel like caning does work best, but like sometimes other things do, but it doesn't work.
How's the hands do it?
Right.
I feel like a flogger was probably never.
A flogger does, like, if you do it right, where instead you like you get a whippy flogger type.
You like more stingy than thuddy.
I actually like thuddy more than stingy, unless someone knows what they're doing.
Okay.
Like, if you're really skilled with the stingy, then it's great. Because if you're not, then your stinging goes in places all over. And then I'm like, I get, what are you doing? Because then, you know, like, get hit like here and stuff. And I'm like, that's no.
It's not what I wanted.
No, that's not arousing. I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, there are certain areas that are more arousing. Like here, my butt. My back used to be like cool for it. And now it's like a neutral zone. It's like, it's not going to arouse. And I'm not going to say like, don't. Really like, don't do it. But I'm also not going to say like, yeah, do it. Back is for me now is just like, okay, doing the back. So that's like, I've noticed like that, but I was like, she did great. And it was great. So shout out to Jax.
Yes, Jax, you did your thing. I thoroughly enjoyed watching that. So do you incorporate, first of all, could you date somebody that wasn't kinky?
No, I already done that too many times. I mean, I got the quick answer on that. Like, I was like, I have tried it too many times. There was even some guy once on my Twitter who was like, well, you know, wouldn't women think it's weird that I'm into this? And I'm like, my man.
No.
Like, if you're not upfront with this, you will be disappointed all the time.
Oh, he was saying that because he was in the kinky closet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you're going to be disappointed when you reveal it every time, or you're going to go seek it out somewhere. Like, that's going to happen, like, always. Versus if saying, hey, this is who I want. This is who I like. This is what I do.
This is what I need you to do for me. Because this does it for me.
Exactly. And it's like, okay. And then what happens is, it's like, for example, like, I haven't dated a submissive woman in ages. Because before I knew what I needed, like, I dated a couple women who were submissive. And looking back, I was like, oh, that was never going to work. But it was like, but
they
I didn't know.
Identified as submissive in the lifestyle, or they were just submissive people in their lives?
I would say like, more in the bedroom. Okay. They're really submissive to the point where, like, if we did BDSM, they would lean submissive.
Mm. So you have experience topping in general?
People wanting me to top, yes. It's not fun for me at all.
Why not?
Because for me, it's like, I'm not a fan of, like, dominating women. It does nothing for me at all.
Do you enjoy the learning of the skill?
I do love learning skills. I love like that. I love like, I'll practice that on anyone. Like if someone's like, hey, we're going to try cupping on this lady and I'm learning and I'm practicing on this lady to do cupping. That's cool to me. Like, I don't mind that. Like, that's cool. You know, we're just like, hey, we're going to put wax on this woman. That's cool too. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm down for that. Like, that's dope. Versus like, hey, I have to do this all the time. Or like in the bedroom where like a woman's like, yeah, be aggressive and taking on. I was like,
I don't want to.
Yeah.
Are you of the belief that in order to be a dom or a dominant or a top, you have to bottom or be a sub first?
No, I don't. I think it definitely helps people a lot. It has helped me to the point where like I can teach like people what to do to me in a variety of ways. Like, you know, like I know how things feel and like they'll be like, oh, try this or like try this toy, you know, like, hey, you should do this and stuff. And like I actually know how to crack a whip to the point like people are like, what? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, because in Houston, I practiced with this guy, like he knew whips and stuff. We're all just practicing and I'm like, I want to learn how to do this. So like actually like with a whip, I can crack it. And people are like, are you ever going to hit someone with that? Probably not. But I like that I can do it and I can show you how to do it too.
Is that something, how do you feel about whips in general?
Only, so this is a recent thing. So when I was younger, I was kind of like more open, whatever. But now it is only black and brown women can whip me. That is it. There is no one else. Like, it doesn't matter. And some of the white doms I've known for like 15, 20 years. Not 20 years, but 10 years at least.
Because you would have definitely been a minor.
Yeah, definitely would have been a minor. That would have not been okay. I was like, whoa, I forget my own age once I got over 30. But for like 10 years, for example, like, you know, since I was like 23 or something, like, you know, we don't do the whipping stuff anymore. It's like, nope.
When did you decide to like draw that line?
I feel like maybe a year or two into New York. So I want to say like 6-7 years ago. I want to say give or take where I was like, I'm going to limit this because I do like them. Don't get me wrong. I like them.
Where on your body do you like to be whipped?
Oh. I mean, I've probably been whipped everywhere on the body at least once. But I'd say like I like my butt. I don't like the back. The back whipping, like it does nothing and it's not fun anymore. I like getting my balls and dick whipped.
Really?
There's no doubt.
Even the ones with the super skinny fucking.
So we attempted to get this video years ago of, I mean, there's definitely a video of it happening where I get whipped on the dick. Yeah, actually there is a video of that. It's a great Mistress Ariana, the lady who used to own the dungeon in Midtown. Black owned woman, you know, black owned dungeon by a woman since the late 90s, like 99. She had to give it up for the pandemic, but she knew how to whip. She whipped my dick. Destroy that.
I am kind of okay.
And the cool thing is when I get aroused and they whip it, then it wraps around and it looks really cool.
I have two whips because I think that I like the sounds that it makes and I didn't realize how much I like the marks that they make. And so it was something I wanted to get really good at, but then there was also a part of it, the fact of it being a whip and something about the slavery aspect of it was really kind of hard, and I was like, it's been hanging up in my closet for probably like 2 years now, because I'm like, maybe like a year and a half now. I was like, I don't know if I feel comfortable even yielding this as a tool.
That's a big thing for like a lot of people in the scene with like not just whips, but everything, right? We got dom, slave, master, slave.
Yeah, I can't go there.
Like, you know, chains, bondage, like all of it's there. What I think what happens though, especially when we have black on, you know, it's like what I do on my parties, which, you know,
talk about low-key kink in a minute.
Yeah, which the parties is like having, if you have black kinksters playing with black kinksters, you remove like necessarily the race play of it, because people are genuinely enjoying wanting to play with you because they enjoy you. Like, your race is not a factor. We're not all watching people get whipped, you know, like by a white guy, like, you know, and it's like the slavery thing. And hey, if we talk, we might get whipped too. It's like, no, like I, as a skilled, like black mistress or dom, know how to use this whip, have talked with my slave about it. And we've agreed on this and this is what we have. That's why he or she or they are collared. And, you know, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to check in and have aftercare with them and do all this stuff. And we're black people doing it and we enjoy it and we're owning it. So that's kind of how I feel on it. And like, So now it's only like black women who do. I like it. When a black woman does it.
Whips your dick.
Yeah. So if you ever want to bring that out of the closet.
I need to practice more. I had a sub a year and a half ago, and I loved, he was just like my, I mean, he's supposed to practice on pillows, and I practiced on pillows too, but it was fun when we had a session, because he was like my little practice tool. He was just there for it, and I got pretty good at it. And I really, my thing about the whips was like, I had one that has this like super thin like end to it, and as it like would strike, I could literally watch the welt form. Like, it felt like I was watching it in slow motion, and that was like, that was a good feeling.
It's cool. You want to get really good practice with a paper towel or piece of paper and whip at it and see how you can not crack, like rip the paper towel.
Not rip it?
Yeah. Like, especially paper towel, and then because it'll work on your skill, your inaccuracy.
I
want to
rip it though.
Word, but practicing it will make you like have control.
You're going to have me in the backyard. That's you have me in the backyard with whips. I'm about to do that.
And then I'm going to come in and be like, hey.
Me next. Yeah. I'm gonna work on it.
That'd be a hot video.
It was hey, listen, I'm trying to figure out what my niche in like content creation is gonna be. But I do know that I don't want it to be fucking and sucking dick. Like I want my niche to be more centered around like BDSM and kink specifically.
Okay.
On a very well done level. So that could be something down the line. Okay. I like to get good at the things that I'm doing. That's very important to me to be very.
I'm always gonna encourage it, but that's also because of my usual. Like, I just like being in videos with people.
Video ho. JK.
I am. I am a ho. I own that.
Do you identify as an exhibitionist?
All day. If I was naked, I would be. If I could be naked all the time, I would be naked all the time.
Same.
I would rather not wear clothes ever.
Is it the part of wearing clothes, or is it the showing off of it?
I do like showing off. I've been lucky to be in shape at least for a very long time. So I've lucked out on that. But I mean, I go to the gym every day, so it's on purpose. But
do you work out to look good naked?
I think some of it is, but then I also just like working out too, though. Like, it's also like, I genuinely like how I feel. It brings in good endorphins. That is true. Like, I feel off if I go more than 2 days without working out.
I wish I had that part of me.
So that's a big thing. But I love being naked. Naked is a blast. Like, it's.
What does your aftercare look like?
It's interesting. I think it's really different than most people's. The two big ones I've seen for a lot of people, and this is just what I've seen. This isn't like, oh, everybody has this. I usually see a lot of people need like their corner time, like their own space where they need to just calm and chill. Mm-hmm. Or I see that people need, hugs, cuddling, all that. Me, I tell people, like, I need to talk. Like, just talk about the scene and let's talk about, yo, it was really cool when this happened. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that feel? What was this? You know, and like, because for me, I like getting excited about like reimagining it in my head type thing. So that's what I like, actually. And I know that it's a little different than most people, but I'm like, yo, I'll get some water and then let's chat about like how cool it was, like what we just did.
That was the same sub that I used to practice my little whip on. That was our aftercare. And I didn't realize that first of all, that was when I realized that even as a dom, even as a top, I needed some level of aftercare.
That's important. People ignore that.
About that. And so I didn't know that I needed that. But that was our aftercare. After we were done, you know, start cleaning up a little bit. And then we would sit down. I would sit in a chair and he would sit on the floor and he would like rub my feet. And we would just talk about like what we did, what we enjoyed, what we didn't enjoy, you know, what he did well, what, you know, we want to change or do differently. And I didn't realize that. First of all, I was able to check in on him and make sure that he was good, but I also really liked watching his eyes, like how like big his pupils were, like he was like deep in subspace and I could see it and feel it and how like excited he was. That was like, one, I did a good job. Job well done, Maj. But it was also like the people pleaser in me was like, I did exactly what you, this is what you came here for, and now I can confirm that I did exactly what it was that you needed. So that nice. That was my favorite form of aftercare. One, because I'm getting a foot rub, so that's obviously really nice.
I love giving foot rubs. They're fun.
Are you a foot fetishist?
So it's funny. On feet, I would say I'm not. So it's this thing where, like, I would say I prefer boots.
Okay.
Over, like, heels or feet. But the thing is, I like giving foot rubs. I, for the few times I've gotten my feet rubbed, that's been really cool. I was like, dang, I get it. Right? Like, so the two times I've gotten,
who was
I get
rubbing your feet? Was it a woman?
So,
a femme presenting person?
So this has actually been interesting. The most people have done the foot rubbing are femme presenting trans women.
Okay.
It's happened three different times from, like, you know, femme woman, basically, in a sense. And, like, that was it. Because on average, like, most cisgender women don't rub my feet. I understand. They might not be down.
I don't think you've had ugly feet. I feel like I looked at your feet. You don't have bad feet.
Actually, people say I have pretty good feet,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I feel like I would.
I mean, I had a foot fetishist guy who paid me $50 a week. And as me, hood man, because he liked my feet. But then he got creepy.
How did he get creepy?
He, like, tried to, like, find my number and, like, figure out me out on social media and stuff. And what I was trying to do is build the man up. I was like, look, I'm going to give you these teases and we'll work up to a certain thing. Like, I might even get you some videos of the feet and stuff. He got too eager.
I hate when it really frustrates me when somebody has gone the length to, like, protect their identity. When people, like, go out of their way, it seems like, to find, like, that is the most, like, disrespectful fucking thing that somebody can do. I would like to talk about low-key kink and what low-key kink is all and right. low-key kink events and all of the things.
Okay. So, low-key kink party, it was originally low-key because I was like, what is the simplest thing I could do? Now, it's transformed a little bit.
When did it start, first of all?
It started before the pandemic in, like, 2019, I want to say. Okay. Maybe 2018, I met someone, shout out to Malika.
Sunflower from Love House?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she, like, I went to a poly event at her space. She was like, hey, you can have parties here. And I was like, you gonna let me run parties the way I want to run parties at your space? So, yeah, cool. And so, like,
what's the way you want to run parties?
The way I want to run parties is, so I try not to have crazy price points that a lot of other people have where they're like, yo, this party's gonna be like $100-something. Inflation's real. I mean, the party I have to have now, like, but I have a 50 cutoff. Like, I don't want to go above 50 for a ticket. That's kind of my personal thing. And even because of inflation in some ways, right? Like, I don't want to go crazy with people. People gotta eat, you know?
Are you making your overhead back, though, at that price point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. Like, sometimes I wonder, but then, I mean, we'll talk on the next comment, but, like, yeah, that's the thing. I make the overhead for the most part, and then sometimes we make even more than that. Like, so, like I said, the parties varied a lot. Like, some of the early ones, it was like a 20 crowd, I want to say. We had one which was real tiny. Intimate was like an 8 crowd. Almost. It was like, we're 15. It was small. And it was good, though. It was intimate. Like, we learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And then it started to kind of become its own thing to a point where, like, when I was in D.C., people didn't know Hood Man. They knew my party. They were like, oh, low-key kick. I was like, Hood Man did nothing for them.
You know what's funny?
Low-key kink, they were like, yeah.
And I knew of low-key kink, but it wasn't until fairly recently that I was like, oh, that's your event.
Yeah, people, because I'm like, you know, there's a dude with the hood. And, like, and someone's like, but you're a bottom, like, running the parties? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I like organizing stuff. And also, originally, Malika's like, you know, we didn't have kink furniture yet. So it was like super low key. It was like, yo, play where you can play, you know? And then we got stuff. And then the new venue I have, like, there's some St. Andrew's crosses and a massage table and some wrestling benches. I mean, wrestling mats. So I was like, okay. I think it even has suspension points for rope. And I was like, oh, good. I have stuff. But that was originally part of it too, a low key, like, play however you need to play type thing, you know. You need to whip someone over a random chair, whip someone a random chair, you know. But the biggest factor, and I think this is the biggest thing that draws people in, is the vetting. So I would vet everyone. Like, if it was someone I knew, it was like, okay, like, yeah, granted, like, you know, there'd be people, and then sometimes people would be like, oh, is so-and-so going because of this, that, and the third. And I was like, oh, so I shouldn't have this person go. Okay, noted. And so I'd make notes of that too. And then there are people, like, I'd check their questions. Like, if someone, like, I asked if they were comfortable with, like, black LGBTQ, and then they, like, laughed on it, or, like, kind of like were like whatever on it. I was like, oh, okay. And no. then, and then, or someone was like,
you can't come.
And this is so funny because this guy tried to like come again. Like, I had this vetting thing I would do too, where I'm like, can someone? You remember actually? Someone I asked was like, oh, can you get her to reach out to me to reference you? I think one there's one person you actually reached out about.
I feel like I remember. I can't remember who it was, but
I don't remember who it was off the top of my head. But you were like, yeah, they're cool. And I was like, yo, because I need someone. And then and the guy was mad that I wouldn't go out and find the person. Mm. And I was like, no, the person will contact me because that way I know you legitimately know them. Because I'm not going to go vet for someone I don't know. Yeah. Like, you know, like, and people will. And so that was a big thing. And for me, I was also like, I would be like, okay, black and brown people only. So white people try and go. I'd be like, no, why are you not going? And then... other time.
Why is that?
Because this is our space. Like, and I want a kinky space for like us and people. Like, there are some that are like more lenient. There are other people who do what I do too now. Like, I feel I see more of it nowadays in a sense, but it was like through a whole vetting thing. And like, you know, I ask questions and double check. I'm like, who, you know, what, why kink? Why do you even want to go here? Cause I get people who are like some guys like, yo, but I'm gonna bring like three different women. I'm like, sir, woman is not what I need for the party. Like, that is not what we're having trouble with here.
And also, your parties are, to my knowledge, are not sex parties. There's not sex.
So at the other place, sex could happen, but it was like random when it happened. It was like, it might happen once every three or four parties. Mm. The new venue, no genital penetration. Toy penetration, okay. No genital penetration. September 17th, Loki Kink Party. Let me know. Reach out to Hoodman on FetLife or Hoodman the on Twitter. That's the next one. And then I'm going to try and do one in December, early December, around my birthday.
Ooh, so, Sagittarius, Lanka.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
I'm going to make it out to, I haven't been to any of your events yet, but I'm definitely going to make it out to one of the two.
Got it. Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, the cool thing is that one's coming up, but... Yeah, that's the big thing is how much of it. Because people are like, you vet the woman too? I was like, yeah, I vet the woman. I'm like, who is this? Like, that's another big thing for me. He's like, people like are like, oh, yeah, we just let one go. I was like, no, we're not having gendered pricing. You're a single or a couple. I don't care what gender you are. Like, it's single couple period. Someone's like, how much for a couple and then a single lady? I was like, well, it's the same thing price. For a couple and a single. Like,
I went away with the gendered pricing for my events as well. I was like, it's just not fair. And to set somebody up where they're paying $150 to come to a party and now they're mad because they didn't have sex. I mean, I'm hosting sex parties.
Right.
Now you're mad that you didn't have sex. Like, it's the same price for everybody. You made me think of a question that I wasn't initially going to ask. But how do you feel about gatekeeping within the kink community? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? How do you feel about
gatekeeping? So it depends on what we're gatekeeping, right? Like, I feel my gatekeeping, there's a purpose to it. Because I have people that will go to the kink parties, not play, but say they had a great time. Like, and I always say, like, one of the things that happened that was, like, really safe, that was cool. There was this girl that came one time to the party. I think she came by herself. I don't remember what party it was, but she went, and she was, like, half awake. She kept on, like, she's tired. I checked in on her. I was like, you all right? She's like, yeah, don't worry. No one messed with her, though. And that was really important for me, like, that she could almost, like, then I have people like have just like slept at the party almost, and then like nobody like
bothering them.
No one bothered them, you know, left them alone. And I think it's important to gatekeep and do things like for like people who are whack, but also like like I
not
want
for people who are whack.
People who are
you
whack.
You can't come here if you're not fun.
I feel like that's a good gatekeeper. You know, if you're doing weird, if you're giving me weird messages about like, oh, why are you worried about black LGBTQ, bro? Like, no, like I don't want a homophobic person at my party.
It fucks up the vibe.
Exactly. I think that is a fair gatekeep. I don't think there's anything wrong with gatekeeping bigotry. I think also because of the space I'm trying for black and brown people, I think that is also fair because I notice how comfortable that people feel like that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I said, people would go in and they would just go and they're like, yo, man, I had a great time because I went and hung out with nothing but black and brown kinky people. Like, I don't always get to do that. That's all I wanted to do. And so that's a whole vibe. So that's a big thing. And then I think also you gatekeep if you have certain levels within the kink community that you're doing. For example, there's not very common anymore, BDSM regime, the old guard, which was very formal structures,
like a high protocol,
high protocol. I wouldn't say, maybe you could call it society, but I'd say it's definitely more specific high protocol, master slave stuff, and like, but it was like official, like it was really important.
Was it a very white situation?
Originally, of course, okay. But then no, okay. It changed. Like, for example, one of the most famous older black woman, Mistress Mir, I think she retired in Jersey. She was very big on old guard and had like rigid rules, amazing court. I wish I saw her. Like, she was gorgeous for me. That's also me being attracted to old women. I think she was like 30 years older than me or something. Wow. Like, for me, that's hot as hell. But like, it was really strict. And like, for them, like, they only want people who understand their way of BDSM versus newbies. That I get. That is an okay gatekeep, just as much as like TNG, the Next Generation, can gatekeep people who are older. I feel like that stuff is fair because you're doing a specific vibe. I think where the gatekeeping comes a problem is when you're like, we only want like, if you're getting too into like a racial thing where it's like black man, white woman, BBC type stuff, like that's where you get a little weird on it. But I think in general, it's okay if you want certain things. Like, for example, if one wants like a all femme kink thing, a all lesbian only kink, I think those are fair because you want a certain vibe and you want certain people. I think plus, while BDSM, like, we can bring to the masses, and it is so much more mainstream than it used to be.
Absolutely.
Significantly. But at the same time, the gatekeeping helps to make good communities where people feel comfortable in their kink.
I agree with that. My events are definitely centered around people of color in general, because there's so many like white kink. Like, you can find a white kink space. You can Google and find.
Like tonight, anything. You could find one right
anything,
now.
Right now. But finding a space where black people or people of color can go and just be and not be fetishized or overly sexualized in the way that they, you know, were not coming into the space to be is rare. So yes, I do some level of gatekeeping for my events. I have this like idea about gatekeeping where I'm really not completely against it. I'm more for it than against it. But I think that within this community, there's kind of like tiers. There are like levels. There are the people that are like super high level, super experienced, the people who are educators and should be educators, rightfully so. And then they're like the mid-level folks, and then they're like the beginning folks. And I think that there should be gatekeeping at the levels, because somebody who's new or thinks that it might be something that they're interested in or it looked cool should not be going high level. You start at the bottom. And if it's something for you, then you work your way up to medium, and then you work your way up to high level. Like, there should be some level.
I agree. At the same time, I think it's also okay if like, if you have a party where it says like, it's like, this isn't a high level thing and you're a newbie, which I have newbies come to my parties, which sometimes is always interesting, because I'm like, wow, this is a brand new king.
I
don't know your
this.
Connections, you know, fully. And like, but you know, people I know, it's kind of cool, you know? And I wouldn't want those people to like not experience BDSM.
I wouldn't want them to not experience it, but I want them... I've watched people phase in and out, even in BDSM, in the kink community, in the swing community. I've watched people phase in, get in, and they're like, oh, this actually isn't for me, and phase out. So there's no reason for you to go high level if you're going to be one of those people that phase. If you're going to be
right.
For the people who are in it, this is your life. Like, you're like, you can't have a, you know, you're friends are, you know, your kinky folk, your the people that are helping you move, the people that are going to, you know, potentially be the godparents of your kids and at your weddings. Like, these are the friends. Yes, like, these are the people. I'm supposed to be going to a kinky wedding in New Orleans, where, I mean, their families and stuff are going to be there. But after the party, we're having a play party. Met in the swinger community. She's the baby girl. He's her daddy dom. Like, this is their life, their entire life. How can you exclude that from, like, how can you exclude that out of your life? So, like, for the people who are in it, this is your life. You cannot go without it. So you're going to be here. So it doesn't matter if it takes you years to get up to, you know, high level. You're going to be here regardless.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, go with do the beginner stuff first.
Yes.
Before you jump off the deep end.
And then going too far too fast can turn you off.
That was young me. I didn't get turned off, but I definitely did way too much.
I think we all kind of get overly eager in the beginning. You're like, more we go into the frenzy of it all. And then it's like
yeah, the frenzy.
Okay, pull it back. Pull it back.
It's too much.
Sometimes. Learn the basics. But you don't even have it. Sometimes when you do that, you don't even have a chance to like learn your limits. Kind of just do everything.
Right. You okay with everything? I mean, granted, like, once I like kind of knew my limits, I went balls to the wall in. and like would like shoot like six times a day type stuff, craziness.
What the fuck?
And DomCon happened and people were like, oh, can I shoot? And be like, I'm booked up. I think my balls went through a lot during those days.
But have you ever hurt your balls? Have you ever gotten hurt?
I mean, like permanently, no, but I've definitely gotten hurt where like I needed to take a moment for longer than usual. Like whether it was like skin being open, like that took a long time to heal, or like the bumps and bruises from martial arts stuff. Like I've gotten like black eyes, you know, and like had to have that heal.
How does that work when you're walking around, not as hood man with a black eye?
Well, so the cool thing was
got a bar fight.
It happened before I had a holiday, so it was okay. Worked out.
Okay.
So, and I just, for me, I was like, I walk around with it, no problem. I'm like, hell yeah, because you know what happened here? This woman beat my ass. That's what's up. I know some be like, what the hell, man? I'd be like, yeah, it was hot. The boxing video, it happened literally once a month, at least once a month, if not more. Someone asked, when are y'all going to box again? When are y'all going to shoot
black
again?
Eye?
Yeah. I was like, when are y'all going to shoot again? I was like, yeah, it's up to her. But, you know.
I'll let her black my eye anytime she wants.
Exactly. I mean, she's hot. She's a dope-ass black muscle woman.
I love it. So you touched on it, like, a little bit, but I want to go back to it. So we are now going to move into the Let Me Put You On segment of the show. What is the Let Me Put You On? It's when I put you on to something that you may or may not know about. So for this episode, we are going to talk about your Surge book series.
Yeah.
So what is this Surge book series for anybody who doesn't know?
It's Afrofuturistic. It's feminist, primarily because 90% of the characters are badass black women. Like, yeah. 90% of them.
Do y'all see the theme here? If y'all haven't caught on to the theme at this point, I don't know what to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and this is just a funny joke, like, a lot of them are tall, too. So, yeah, you know how I am. I would say there's cyberpunk vibes, people who have, like, machinery in them, and... You know, there's definitely class levels, rich, poor stuff, you know, oppressive military, police stuff. The book one is mainly about this lady who's in a detective agency, and she has surge powers, which is, I mean, I tell people to think of like Star Wars Force, but I mean, the book.
Star Wars. None of the Star Wars.
It's all good. Watch the Mandalorian TV show. I think you'd actually like that the most. Have you tried it yet?
No, I have not. I'm not superhero-y things are just not my.
I get you, but I'm going and notice that I said specifically Mandalorian. I didn't even say the movies because I watched a movie with you.
Oh, so it's not a movie. It's not the Mandalorian.
It's a show.
I thought that was a movie.
So I had I have an idea of what you might like. So okay. I feel you might like the show. Actually,
all right, I'll give it a shot.
I'm not recommending the films actually for you. I'm actually recommending the show.
I will give it an honest shot. I'll give it at least one episode. If I'm not sucked in by then I'm probably gonna.
Okay. Fair. I think of that, and then but also like Storm, the Marvel X-Men character, influenced a ton of the characters.
Is it because she's beautiful?
Of course. And also she was like, I thought she was cool when I was a little kid. Like I was like, who is this? She's this dope black lady with a mohawk, because that's the Storm I saw. Mm-hmm. 80s Storm mohawk, Black Storm. And so I have characters definitely influenced by her.
Do you have any characters influenced by you? And is it hood?
It's funny. There's definitely a character who's like, it's a woman though, but like personality wise, she is me.
You as hood man?
Me as me. Okay. Like me as the real me. Book two is a prequel, and it focuses a lot on these cool gangs, these cyberpunk gangs. So there's different gangs, and we're all in Ghana. So we're in Accra, Ghana. That's the other cool thing. And there's no white people in my books. I have like every other ethnic group. Which is the other? I mean, I got,
have
like,
y'all seen the theme? I just want to make sure that it's clear, okay?
Like, no, but I put in other people, right? There's cool, like, you know, East Asian groups, like Arab groups, mm-hmm. You know, different types of people. Also, there's a big LGBTQ theme. Like, nearly everybody is
some level of queer. This in your books and all of it is so nerdy, but I think it's fucking it's so cool and adorable that this is a you know such a big part of your life and something that you take so much pride in. I think that's really dope.
Yeah, no, I have a blast. And sci-fi centered, tons of influences from sci-fi.
So where could someone purchase your books or find your books?
So book three, this weekend I'm finalizing it to put on Amazon. Book two is already on Amazon. Book one is on BookBaby, And as soon as I finish re-editing book one, it is also going to be on Amazon. But for now, it's on BookBaby.
I'll put links in the notes for the show, in the description for the show. Now, we're going to move into the playlist. What is the playlist? It is a list of songs to play to, okay? So, this week, what song are we adding to the playlist, Mr. Hoodman?
So, it's What They Say Now.
What They Say Now.
And it's, I think, who is it? Who's the other guy with him? It's Tobe. And let me double check his name. I want to make sure.
I feel like that might have been one of the last visuals that I saw of him that was like going around.
It's Young Deji. There we go. That's what it is. Young Deji. Young Deji and Tobe. It's got a nice beat with it. And then like for me, I was like, man, you could really get into like a flow with like beating someone's butt with this. Like you could just be like.
I love when people are flogging and they're like, or like doing any impact and they're going to the rhythm. Like that even helps you like as a bottom, like really get into
right, it. Right, right.
I like,
so,
really appreciate that. So
I know it's a adding, different one, but I was like, yeah.
What's it called? What They Say?
What They Say Now.
What They Say Now. Tobe Najiwe, and I might be saying the name wrong as well, but What They Say Now. We are going to add that to the Fun Sexual playlist. You can find the link to the playlist in my bio. If you also look up the Fun Sexual playlist, you can find it on Apple and Spotify. And before we head out for the episode, you are going to leave us with an affirmation.
So the first one is, I am not my past.
I love it.
It's really important. I must be genuine. And I will think before I speak.
That's what I'm talking about. I love it. So, Hoodman, where can people find you? Where can they support you? How can they support you?
All right. So, we talked about the book places already. So, we got that down. For the parties and in general, if you want just me, it's Hoodman the. That's the at on Twitter. That will have, like me, some party info. FetLife has more of the party info, and it's just Hoodman. I lucked out with it literally just being Hoodman. Mm-hmm. No numbers, no nothing. I think that's the only thing where I got to do just Hoodman mm-hmm. with it, but it's like H-O-O-D, man. And I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. That has party info as well, and just general like who I am. If you want to find the videos and support, most people go to Clips for Sale. It's called Hoodman's Hijinks. So Hoodman, H-I-J-I-N-K-S. I definitely had to figure out how to spell the hijinks. Like, but that's my love for alliteration, right? Surge series, Hoodman, hijinks, you know? I love alliteration. I can't help it. Mm. Low-key.
Like Mistress Majesty does it.
Oh. I mean, you want to bring out the whip? I would totally play with you. Just definitely well. Saying that out.
Yeah. I would as well. Also saying that out loud.
All right. For the internet to know. But yeah, that's where people can find me. That's where you can find the clips. That's where you can find the books. Come support. Come just say hi. Just say what's up. I like meeting black and brown kinksters.
I love it. Well, y'all, I hope that y'all enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Again, my name is Majesty. All three of my Ys. You can find me at The Fun Sexual on Instagram and on Twitter. Check out the podcast if you are listening. I am so happy that you are a listener. But check me out on YouTube. Watch us. See Mr. Hoodman in his hood. See me. You know, I don't know, just to look at my beautiful face. I don't know. But check me out on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. And that's all I got for now. So I love y'all and I'm going to peace it on out.